Good morning. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. The Bible says in Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And I'd like to begin by saying Happy New Year's to everybody and God's richest blessings to everyone. I hope this is a wonderful year. You know, a lot of times things are just wonderful depending on our attitude. You know, a lot of times things don't change very much, sort of goes on. And you can either have a good attitude about it and praise the Lord and be thankful for what you do have, or you can be pouty about it and down and just rubs off on everybody else. So
look, I'm right here.
I know.
Don't appreciate
trying to give Dave a subtle message there to shape up.
Well, thank you for the New Year wishing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you have a good New Year's?
It was pretty good. You know, I don't normally like New Year's Eve very much.
Really?
Yeah.
We went to bed. I mean, yeah. I just...
Poor old Dick Clark. Just feel bad for him.
I didn't see, but I know
he had a stroke a while ago, and he's still on there. And he does a pretty good job, but it's still kind of like, I don't know, it's just kind of sad to me.
Well, you got to appreciate his attitude, though.
He's doing it, man. He still loves doing it.
Yeah, he could have quit a long time ago and said, no, I can't do that, but...
That's a good point.
Yeah, you got to commend him for that.
All right.
But I didn't see it, but I've seen it, you know, I've seen him in the past after his stroke.
His rocking New Year.
Yeah. You know, he has trouble, and you can tell.
But he is still up there doing it, and that is commendable.
Wonder how old he is.
I don't know. He's up there. He looks pretty darn good, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't know how old he is. I know he's been around as long as I can remember, so I know he's a lot older than I am.
He's got a few years on you.
Yeah, I'm sure. Probably looks better, though. But anyway, we're starting a new year on the Blessings of Liberty, and I've been laying foundation work for the new year and talking about civil government in America. I've made this point many, many times, but every church covenant, no matter the denomination, you know, every different church, every denomination, they have a section on what they believe about civil government. And the reason every church has that is because the Bible has a great deal to say about human government. And so we're going to start this year studying about civil government, especially in America, or specifically pertaining to America. And I've gave sort of a little thesis past few times about a scriptural historical approach with present day application. And I don't quote this every time we come on the air, but the name Blessings of Liberty comes from the preamble to the Constitution. I think you told me one time, Dave, you memorized it when you
were
in fifth school.
Grade. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you still say it?
Hold up.
We
the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. For the United States of America.
That's good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I had a button, I would give it to you. You already have one.
I got a little clapping button here. Let's give me that. There we go. All right. The applause button.
I can't hear it.
Yeah, I know.
But it's on there.
It's on the air. Yeah.
That makes me think of that episode of Andy and Barney where he says he can... says that he can quote the preamble, and Andy helps him, you know.
Helps him along.
Yeah.
Well, we was a good starting point. Yeah, thanks.
But you, that, we had I'm to record impressed.
We had to memorize the Gettysburg Address, and I don't really remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't hear that quoted as much.
Really. No. Well, that's good. I'm proud of you, Dave. You get the Blessings of Liberty
gold star
for the day.
All right. All right, that's going on the fridge.
but we... I was studying yesterday about the radio broadcast, you know, and I don't just know all this stuff, you know, I have to study it out and think about it quite a bit, but I was studying and I found a very interesting passage of scripture concerning the subject of proclaiming liberty. It's over in the book of Jeremiah. It was written to or given to Jeremiah just before the Babylonian captivity, where King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the city, took the city and the inhabitants captive. Even Jeremiah was carried away during that. But in the book of Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah, God told King Zedekiah, he was the king at that time when the Babylonians invaded and destroyed Jerusalem. King Zedekiah was the king, and God told him why it was coming to pass before it came to pass, why this was happening. One of the reasons why this was happening, I know I could, you know, from a biblical standpoint, give several reasons why the children of Israel were carried away into captivity, but God told King Zedekiah in Jeremiah 34 and verse 17, it says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty for you, saith the Lord." And there's several lessons that could be taken out of that. If you take it in the context, this is what God told the children of Israel before they lost their liberty, before they lost their freedoms. That proclaiming liberty goes all the way back to Leviticus chapter number 25 and the year of Jubilee, and every 7 years they were to free their slaves. The land that they had lost through mismanagement or mortgaged or sold, it was to revert back to the original family, because God intended for every family to keep a certain amount of their inheritance, and it was supposed to revert back to the original owner every 7 years and then every 50 years. That's a complicated, I'm not going to get all into that. But
it
that's,
was a little complicated.
Yeah, but that's what that's referring back to. And so the Lord told King Zedekiah why this was happening, and it was because he had failed to proclaim liberty. They had failed to do what the Lord had told them to do at the very beginning, and it was the Lord's will for his people to be free and to have liberty. And they were reminded to be reminded of it. God said there in verse number 17, he said, "Behold, I proclaim liberty for you. You failed to be appreciative of. You failed to recognize your liberty." So God said, I'll proclaim liberty for you. I'll remind you that it was his will for his people to be free. And something else you learn there is that they lost their liberty. They failed to be reminded. They failed to be to observe the year of Jubilee, the setting free of the slaves, and so they became slaves themselves. They lost their liberty. And so it is a scriptural principle there that we need reminding, that liberty is a precious thing. Liberty is God's will for his people. Liberty can be lost. And it's a Bible principle that God said, you failed to do this. You failed to proclaim liberty. And it is also, if we bring this up to American history, it's also something our founding forefathers knew about. They knew that if we were going to be a free people and remain a free people, that we had to be reminded of that. We couldn't just take it for granted. We couldn't just get our freedom and forget about it. Because our founding forefathers knew that there would always be a segment of society, a group of people that would want to take our liberties away from us and become the power and the authority in the land. For example, Thomas Jefferson said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." There's no such thing as being ignorant and free. Once upon a time in America, and I have a friend who found a old history book. It was from the late 1800s.
That can be really interesting.
Yes.
Back.
Yeah. Of course, you have to be careful. It's about to fall apart. It's over 100 years old. But you look back in the chapters of what was taught in the public schools in America at that time, mm-hmm. and it was our history. I'm talking about an in-depth history, not just a little bit of George Washington and the cherry tree and Abraham Lincoln studying by candle in a log cabin and then, Ronald Reagan. I mean, in-depth, how we got here, what brought us here, a whole book about in-depth American history, the principles of freedom. Once upon a time, the Constitution was taught in the schools, just like you saying, that you memorized it in the fifth grade. Of course, you didn't. You went to a private school.
It was a private school. There were like 30 kids in my class, and we always said the pledge to the American flag and the Christian flag every day. So it was very different than a public school,
right?
Yeah.
Did you have a Bible reading, prayer, and
we usually started out the day with prayer, devotion. Right. Yeah.
We had when I was smaller, first, second grade. I remember we'd stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I remember before we went to lunch, we would pray. You know, we'd line up A to Z or Z to A, and we'd pray before we went to the lunchroom. This is not all the way through elementary school, but I just have these memories. You know, we would pray. I remember one of our teachers reading out of the Bible in class. You know, it wasn't anything anybody got all out of sorts with. But now things are much different in America. Now we have, I read back, it happened right around Veterans Day, so it would have been the 1st of November. This elementary school student in California, he had an American flag on his bicycle, and he was riding to school every day. You know, I think maybe his dad or had been in or was in the Army serving in Iraq or Afghanistan, and so he had that American flag on his bicycle to, pay respect to our troops. And the people in the school there where he went to school made him take the flag off of his bicycle, said that it could be offensive to somebody.
The American flag?
Make him take the American flag off his bicycle on Veterans Day. He'd been doing it for about a month, but they chose Veterans Day of all days. Or, you know, it was right around Veterans Day. I don't guess they had school on Veterans Day. But, it makes me think to myself, what are we coming to in this country? What's happened to us where once upon a time, our history, our constitution, patriotism were things that were commendable. And now they're condemned many times in the public school. We have gone far, far away. Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. So once upon a time, things were different in our country. I brought just a couple of examples. We're going away from the principles of freedom. The word socialism has been used over and over and over again in the past 2 years. People are saying, you know, we don't want this health care. We don't want the takeover of the banks, of the corporations, of GM. This is socialism. This is socialism. Well, just because that's not being talked about every day doesn't mean that's not where we're still headed. And I have an example of that. I found just this morning the Winston-Salem Journal had an article by Charles Krauthammer. He is he's on the news shows a lot, commentator, and I'm sure people have seen him there, but he wrote an article in the Washington Post that said government by quiet regulation, talking about more and more and more our government is taking over every aspect of society, more and more regulations. For example, state legislatures this past year enacted, it became many of them effective January 1st of 2011, over 31,000 different laws. California by itself had over 725 new laws enacted at the beginning of the new year. The Congress this last Congress enacted more laws and regulations than any Congress since, I think, 1960. So we're looking over several decades there. Laws, 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 more and more laws. But Mr. Charles Krauthammer here, he said, but this, and I'm not going to, you'd have to read the whole article, but that's what it's about, talking about all these different laws, all these different regulations. He said, he's talking about what Obama has to do to get elected for 4 more years. He says this in turn would grant Obama 4 more years when freed from the need for pretense. He can reassert himself ideologically and complete the social democratic transformation, talking about turning our republic into a socialist country. He said begun January 20th, 2009, derailed November 2nd, 2010, this is the mission of his presidency, talking about turning our country into a socialist country. And on another note, I have a what I think is a very good example. This is a letter that I received from a missionary that we support. He's a missionary in Canada. I'm not going to give his name. I don't want to. I don't know if he intended, you know, for this to be read over the radio, but I'm not going to give his name. But if somebody's interested, you know, we could talk about it more. But this missionary in Canada, he's been there over 20 years, and just a paragraph out of his letter, he said, "In order to better pray for us, we would like to share some of the nature of the people we work with. Socialist agenda is everywhere you go here. Back in the early 80s, the NDP, which is a form of government, introduced the Two Daddies alternative to the grade school and university by replacing Jesus Christ with Muhammad, offering students Islamic lessons and a time to take out their mats and pray during school hours. There are more than 1 million Muslims in Toronto alone. Many serve on city boards legislating new laws. The King James Bible is under attack, and we fear will eventually be brought under the hate crime law. We also fear that this law may be instated in the USA as well. The opposition is very real, and the strongholds are satanic." So he fights socialism every day and sees the effects of it. And I've talked with him in great detail about what's happening here in America. And he said, "We're becoming like Canada." And we are becoming like Canada. And so, talking about our freedoms that we have, if we don't recognize what we have, if we don't fight for what we have, I was trying to find a better term for it, but we do need to fight for the freedoms that we have to keep them. We will lose our freedoms. And the founders, they realized what was at stake. They didn't look at things through the glasses that we look through. We look through things like we think of politics. First thing you think about, Democrat, Republican, you know, two major parties. I know there's others, but that basically is what's in control of the system. Democrats and Republicans, they didn't look through the political spectrum as Democrats, Republicans, like we think of it, many people think of it. They didn't look through it as right and left. They seen the big picture. They were not ignorant concerning the history of the world, the governments of the world. They seen the big picture. They seen on the far, far one side, there was tyranny, which is what they were up against with King George, the rule of Great Britain, tyranny, a monarchy. On the other end, they seen that down through the history of time, there was anarchy. There was no law. And what they had a desire and a heart to do was find a government that would be in the center of all of that and provide maximum freedom and minimum government. And that's why our preamble to the Constitution, which Dave so eloquently quoted there at the beginning of the radio broadcast.
I don't know that
broadcast.
That's accurate. Thank you.
Accurately quoted for us.
Yeah, okay. Fairly accurately.
No, it was accurate. It starts out. We the people. And Miss Virginia Fox, our congresswoman, when she was on here, oh, it's been quite some time ago now, I'll never forget, she said three most important words. We the outside of the Bible is what she said. Three most important words outside of the Bible. We the people. And so we cannot forget that our government was established in the center right, is where America's traditionally been. That is, we the people, more conservative than liberal. That has been our place in America for many, many years now. And so our founding forefathers, they realized that. They seen that it was one extreme or the other. And to have a successful government, you know, they didn't just pull all these ideas out of a hat. They were well acquainted with all the different examples from the Bible, theocracy, the rule of the kings in the Bible, democracy in ancient Greece, limited freedom, people's law in the Roman Empire, the Anglo-Saxon tradition, Judeo-Christian influence, through the tyranny of King George, they were aware, they were well aware of all of these things. And they stood at a unique point in place in history where they were confronted with the question, if you could form a new nation and a new government with all the lessons from the past, what would it be? And so they gave us, well, I believe God gave us through them, but we were given America. And a republic, not a democracy, but a republic. A democracy is ruled by majority vote. A republic is ruled by law. And we have a law, which is the Constitution, which if you study into it, you would find out the Constitution is based upon the principles that we find in the Bible. And that's why it refers to the Creator and divine unalienable rights and all of these things that we're familiar with today. But they gave us a republic, which is a rule by law. Everybody knows what the law is or should know, and we live our lives accordingly. That law is the Constitution. I was going to share some things. I've encouraged, if you can get a copy of The 5,000 Year Leap, it is a wonderful book. It gives just great history of the United States of America. In the very beginning of it, there is some examples of what ruler's law is, or tyranny, which is what they were fighting against with King George and the rule of Britain over the colonies. But number one, authority under ruler's law is nearly always established by force, violence, and conquest. They realized that a ruler, a monarchy, it was something that somebody had been defeated once upon a time and gained power through subversion, warfare, whatever the case might be. Number two, therefore, all sovereign power is considered to be in the conqueror or his descendants. And one unique thing about America is it did not become America. There was a war, the American Revolutionary War, but it was not a group of people overthrow it and say, okay, now we're in power. When they defeated Britain, it was so we the people could govern ourselves. There's a big difference there. You know, George Washington didn't come in and establish himself as the king of America. They established a government where all men could be free and worship God and have freedom to fulfill the American dream and have freedom and real liberty. And so there's a difference there between other governments in the world. Number three, the people are not equal but are divided into classes and are all looked upon as subjects of the king. And this is how it was in Britain. You know, if you study about the history of Britain, you'll see, you know, for example, King James, ruler of Scotland, ruler of this, you know, all the different realms and things like that. Dave, have you seen that movie Braveheart?
It's been a while, but yeah, Mel Gibson's
in it.
Yep.
That is a movie about a guy named William Wallace and their fight for freedom from Britain. You know, it was Scotland against England. And, you know, England came along, and if somebody wanted to get married in Scotland, then the ruler there from England, he could come in and spend the first night, the wedding night, so that the land would be, you know, all this, you know.
They were not very good rulers.
No, they were not very
good. It wasn't fair.
So they said, you know, you go back and tell the people in England that the sons of Scotland are free or something like that, you know. But that's what that movie is about. And the people were divided into classes. The entire country is considered to be the property of the ruler. He speaks of it as his realm. When I lived in England, that's how it is. I've lived in a socialist country, so I know a little bit about it. You know, we just had deer season here in the...
Just wrapped up.
Just wrapped up.
Yeah.
In England, they have deer over there, but it's interesting. I think I can't help but read this and think about over there, the queen owns all the deer. And so, you know, it is looked on as hers. And it's very different than here. That's her realm, although it's a, you know, she is not the real ruler now, but a puppet head figure, whatever they call it. But once upon a time, it was her land. There was her subjects in the land. Number five, the thrust of governmental power is from the top down, not from the people upward. That's different than how it is here in America. Number six, the people have no unalienable rights. The king giveth and the king taketh away. So ruler's law is much different. Number seven, government is by the whims of men, not by the fixed rule of law, which the people need in order to govern their affairs with confidence. Our economy's been on the brink for years now, and one of the things that you'll hear business people and even corporations talking about is, well, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to invest. We don't know how to grow because we don't know what they're going to do with the tax law. We don't know if we need to store back. We don't, you know, when the laws are upset, nobody knows what to do. This is why we need a set rule of laws in our country to go by and live by. Number eight, the ruler issues edicts, which are called the law. He then interprets the law and enforces it, thus maintaining tyrannical control over the people. And so I've already given the example of in America in this past year, the state legislatures made over 31,000 laws were enacted. I read an article this morning about the most unfriendly small business city in America is Washington, D.C., and the article there was talking about a lady who owned a bicycle shop, and she said the mentality of the government there is gotcha. You know, she was selling power bars in her store while people were shopping for bicycles, and she got a $2,000 fine because she didn't have a food permit.
Ouch.
You know, just stuff like that. That is an example of a tyrannical government. Needless. Where did that money go? To fund more government, and on we could go. But they've issued this law, and so whether you even know about it or not, you're obligated to follow it. Number nine, under ruler's law, problems are always solved by issuing more edicts or laws, setting up more bureaus, harassing the people with more regulators, and charging the people for these so-called services by continually adding to their burden of taxes. That sounds like modern-day America. Number 10, freedom is never looked upon as a viable solution to anything. Number 11, and my time's about gone, or I can comment on these things. The long history of ruler's law is one of blood and terror, both anciently and in modern times. Under it, the people are stratified into an aristocracy of the ruler's retinue, while the lot of the common people is one of perpetual poverty, excessive taxation, stringent regulations, and a continuous existence of misery. And so that is what we are fighting. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about that we as America are standing on a cliff, and freedom, the republic, is about to go over the edge. And if someone does not stand there and try to pull it back and get us where we need to be and reminded of where we come from, we'll lose it. And once it's lost, it'll be lost forever. So I say take heart today. I believe there's many people appreciates our republic and our Constitution and is willing to fight for it and strive for it. The Bible says, though, in Psalms 11 in verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's nothing we can do. If we forget our foundations, if we forget that it is God's will for us to be free, we'll lose it. And we'll never get it back. Well, our time is quickly coming on today. This is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come visit with us just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Thanks, Dave, for
everything.
Thank you, Wayne.
Good to be here. It's good to have you. WATA Boone.